Learning the Chinuch Mas Yitzchak Yeruchim Fishel Ben Moshe Simcha Bas Rachel Bela Bas Elimelech Leviya Esther Bas Moshe Yaakov Ben Yechiel Michal Ella Bas Meir Leib and Shimon Ben Yaakov. Okay, we begin. Top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, third line. We were discussing yesterday what is known in Halacha as Kinyan Maimir Shlashtan, which we said means Reuven lent money to Shimon. Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money, give it instead of me, give it to Levi, who's standing right there. So if all three parties are present at the same time that directive is given, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the halacha is, Rav said, that Levi, the third party, automatically now becomes the owner of that money. Even though there was no official physical transfer of funds, there was no kinyan performed, but simply Reuven saying to Shimon in the presence of Levi, the money that you owe me, I want you to give it to Levi, automatically makes it now Levi's. That's the chiddush of Maimed Shlashtan. I think we're trying to figure out what's the mechanism on the basis of which this halacha works. How does that function? How does that happen? So the Gemara said, well, maybe when Reuven initially gave Shimon the loan, the assumption was that Shimon was at that moment accepting upon himself a debt to either Reuven or whoever Reuven decides to appoint in his place. Maybe that's when the chiyuv was created. The Gemara says, well, that's very nice and fine, the Gemara said yesterday, but if the third party who Reuven now wants to give the loan to wasn't alive at the time of the initial loan, well then, how then do you assume that there was some sort of chiyuv or shibud or lien or indebtedness created at the time of the loan if the third party who now was the recipient of it wasn't alive at the time?
But isn't it, even Kiddushin is based on whatever the Rabbanan want?
Yes.
So even if somebody's, in this case, somebody's not alive yet, whatever the Rabbanan want, that's...
So yes, you could say, as we perhaps ultimately will, Hefker based in Hefker.
Right.
But Gemara's trying to figure out first if there was some other mechanism to it besides just that. Okay. So we had yesterday ended up with the Gemara, which said that, well, maybe the pshat is like this. When Reuven says to Shimon, listen, Shimon, the loan that you owe me for that I gave you, a year ago, I want you now to give it to Levi. So maybe the fact that Shimon benefits, the Gemara said yesterday, in that he now has a new loan. In other words, if you owe me money, and it's already a year since I made the loan to you, I'm at the end of my line. I want my money back. But if I say, you know what, give it to Levi. Oh, for Levi, it's a new loan. Mm. So now the borrower thinks, great, now I can like push him off another month or two or three or four or more. So there's a certain benefit that the borrower gets now that he has a new creditor he can negotiate with, he can postpone payment to. So the Gemara suggests maybe that's the basis on which this idea works. So now, Amalei Huna Mar Braid Rav Nechami Lor Vashi. So Huna, son of Rav Nechami, says to Vashi, Elame Ata. Well, according to this logic, that it's the benefit that the borrower receives, that he now has a new creditor he can now negotiate with and perhaps get an extension on his payment date from, that benefit is what he now receives, and in exchange for that benefit, he's willing to create an indebtedness that he owes this third party the money. If that's your logic, asks the Gemara now, Kagon Hani Debe Bar Aliashiv. Let's say the third party is a member of this well-known family, Bar Aliashiv family. And they were known, says Rashi, to be tough people. They didn't go easy on you. He's not a guy who is known for his patience when it comes to being paid back money he's owed. In fact, the Kafsi Vishlak La'altar, they will force people to pay them immediately. So Hachinam de Lokanu. So if the third party that is now being given the loan is a member of that family, there's no benefit now to the borrower. Oh, great, you have a new creditor. Al Capone is your new creditor. Oh, great, that's not going to do me any good. Now I'm going to be held up for the money in no time. So if that's the case, would you say in that case that there's no halacha of Maimed Shlashtan, that the kinyan doesn't work, that there's no benefit to the borrower, that he has this guy as creditor now, so therefore there's no automatic indebtedness owed to the third party? And if you tell me that, yes, you're right, under those circumstances, with a new creditor, is known to be a mafia guy. So then the borrower doesn't gain at all by having the money owed to him. So then there's no automatic kinyan. If that's the case, imkein nasata debrecha l'shiurin. So now you're making this takana depend upon the specifics of the case. Now, as you tell me, if the third party who's now being granted the loan is a nice, sweet, easygoing guy, oh, the borrower is happy. He's willing to create a shibud to that third party. But a third party is a tough guy who's going to take the money in no time, and the borrower's not happy, so he's not willing to be machina and owe the money to that third party. So you can't do it that way. You can't have a takanas chazal that sometimes applies, sometimes doesn't apply. So what's the bottom line? How does this Kenyan Maimon Shloshtan work? So here it is. Ella, rather, Amar Mazucha Mazucha says, Hani Tzlas Mila, the following three halachos. Shavinu Rabbanan Kehilchosa Blotayma. The Chachamim essentially enacted the following three halachos, even though there is no real halachic mechanism by which we can say it works. It's rather just, this is the way it is. It's as if Rashi says it was a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. There's no reason necessary to explain how it works. Chazal wanted it, this is how it works. Chadaha. One is this example. This example of Kenyan Maimon Shloshtan, where Chazal said, lender says to borrower, the money you owe me, give to him. Boom, automatically, it belongs to the third party. Even though there was no Kenyan, as long as the three parties are all present when this directive is given, the money is automatically owed to the third party. There's no halachic mechanism by which it works. That's just the way Chazal wanted it. Now, Tosfos explains there's a motivation for it. You know, there's a reason why they wanted it this way. In other words, they want to make transactions, commercial transactions, easier. You're going to have to start waiting to perform a kinyan. It's going to slow things down. Chazal wanted ease of commerce. So they wanted it automatic. Three parties are present. Lender, borrower, third party. Give the money you owe me to him. Done. Boom. That's why Chazal wanted it. What we're saying in the Gemara, though, is, says Tosfos, that there's no halachic mechanism that explains through halachic means how it works. It's just a Chazal misak in it, period. Number two, Bidach, another example, the Amar of Yehuda Meshmuel, Shmuel says, Hakosei kol nechasav le'ishto. If someone writes a shtar, which he gives to his wife, in which he gifts to her all of his assets, so Chazal Mesakin lo asa el apotrophia, that although on paper he essentially gifted her everything he owns, Chazal said if he does that, she doesn't become the owner of everything. She becomes merely the guardian. I'm not sure what the word is in legal terms.
Administrator.
Administrator, okay? Now she has the right to buy and sell and operate the properties, operate the business, but she doesn't become the owner of it. Mm-hmm. So the chiddush here is that although in the actual document that he gave her, it stated that it was a gift. Chazal said no. Here Rashi adds in what you're referring to before, George. Hefker based in Hefker. Chazal said, we want it differently. We want it to be that she's only the apotropos. She's not the owner. That's the way it is. Now again, Tosfos explains, there is a svara here that a person would never abandon his children entirely and give everything away to his wife, especially if, let's say, the wife isn't the mother of the children. Could be he had children from the first wife, and now he's married to the second wife. He would never abandon his children entirely and give everything to his wife. He wrote it this way as a means of showing her respect, you know, giving her the honor of being, oh, wow, he gave me all his properties. But it's not what he really meant to do. So Chazar Misakin, under these circumstances, it's just that he's appointing an apotropos. And finally, the third example is, V'idach to Amrav Chananya of Chananya says, Hamasi Ishel of Nogadol. If somebody marries off his son to a woman, bibayis, in a specific house that he owns, but he doesn't live in, but he made it the house for the chasna. The assumption is, the takana is, kina'o, the son acquires the house. The son acquires the house. So Rashi says this is a house that is not one he lives in. It's a house that he, bedafka, designated for the making of the chasna. Tosis adds that he even cleared it out of all everything that he had in the house beforehand. So put it all together, it looks like he's giving it, and Chazal Mesakin, the fact that he does give it under those circumstances to the son. Fine, so that's the bottom line. This takana of Kenyan Maimon Shloshtan is a takana Chazal enacted to ease the flow of commerce. There's no halachic mechanism by which it works. That's just the way it is. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar lei rab.
Sorry, but in this case, this last one, I mean, what's the benefit, and what are they? How are they saving any time, any commerce? He can say, "Here, son, here's the key."
Right. So in the last case, it's not a question of saving time, of ease in commerce. It's just a question of, I think, like assumptions here. The son is given the impression that he's been given the house. Chazal Taka said that that's, in fact, what happens here, that he's been given the house. Lav Dafka has to do with ease of commerce. That's more to explain the first scenario of Kinyan Mishloshta. Okay.
So it may have been something that was done, and just that's the way, just handed down that way.
Right, Tos uses the Lashon from the Gemara of Basra of Samcha Alei Daita Deben. You create an expectation that the son has now, that this now becomes his house. You cleared it out for him. You made his wedding there. And that's the assumption he's working with. And that's what Chazal, in fact, said is what happens.
Adding to the Simcha.
Right. Okay. Fine. Moving on. The Gemara now quotes the following story. Amalei Rav, Rav of Achabardala. Rav said to Achabardala, Kaba Demarika Isli Gabach. You owe me a kav, a measurement of morika, this certain type of spice. Yohavela ploni, give it to so-and-so. Ba'ape kaminalach, and I'm telling you this in his presence. The lohadranabi, I'm not going to back out of this. I'm not going to retract what I'm telling you now. So it sounds like Rav was telling him that I'm promising you I'm not going to back out. So the Gemara is bothered. Michal, does that mean to say that if Rav would have wanted to retract, he could have retracted? But if the third party was there, so Kenyan Maimer Shloshta means that the minute you say to the person who owes you the money, give it to him, and he's right there, it belongs to him. You can't back out of it. So why does Rav say, I'm promising you I won't back out? What do you mean? Even without your promise, if you tell him in the presence of the third party, give it to the third party, it's done. Answers the Gemara. No, what Rav meant to say is the following. Hachikamar. Devarim halalu, this commitment, lo nitnu chazara, is not one that I am allowed to retract. In other words, since I'm telling you in his presence to give it to him, I'm therefore unable to retract. Stigma asks, ha'amar Rav Chadazimna, but Rav already said this din. What we've been quoting until now. Rav said, mana li biyadcha, you owe me 100, tenelo l'ploni, give it to so-and-so. B'maimer Shloshin, if all three parties are present when that directive is made, kana, so the third party automatically acquires it. So why did Rav have to tell Rav Achabardala that I can't back out? We know you can't back out. You already said this din of Kenyan Mayamit Shloshtan. So the Gemara answers, Imiyahi, if I was just aware of Rav's first statement, where we spoke of mana, lipi yadcha, tener leploni, I would have thought, Hanamila Matana Maruba, that maybe Dafka when it says significant amount of money, 100 money, maybe Dafka there, I would have thought that you have to have the third party present in order for the Kenyan to be irreversible. Maybe Dafka there, you need all three parties present. However, but you're dealing with a small, relatively insignificant amount of money. Yeah, saffron, some spice. Okay. So, lo libay b'fanav. Maybe in that case, even if it's just the lender and the borrower, and the lender tells the borrower, give it to so-and-so, maybe so-and-so does not need to be present for this kinyan to be effective. Kamashon, the chiddush is, and that's what Rav was telling of Achabardala, that even when it comes to a small, relatively small amount of money or gift of value, even then, the third party has to be present for the kinyan to take place. Okay. Next.
Why would you think you don't have to be present for a small gift?
I guess I would have thought that when it's a relatively small amount of money and the lender tells the borrower, I want you to pay to so-and-so, since it's a relatively minor amount, you might think the Chazal would have allowed him to make the transfer of that ownership to the third party, even if the third party is not present. I guess, you know, less strictures in place when it's a small amount of money. The Chiddush is no, that even small amount of money, Chazal still insists upon the same rigid requirements, if you will, that only if all three parties are present at the time that the directive is given. Okay.
So he would still owe the money to the first.
So if the third party was not present, right, it would still be owed to the first person. But if the third party is present, then regardless of how much the money is worth, it's owed to the third party. Okay. Right. Okay. Two dots. Hanu Ginoi. There were these vegetable growers, partners in a vegetable business. So they made some sort of calculation, you know, I guess after a certain period of time, okay, who owes the rest of us money? You know, I guess they all grew and sold these vegetables, they were partners, and they came time to figure out, okay, bottom line, what was the profit of the past year, and you know, and how much have we all gotten, and how much is owed by one of us to the other? And Posh Chamesh Estiri Zuzi Gabichad Menah. They came to the conclusion that one of the partners owed the others 5 slime. So Amalei, they said to him, Yavinu Nihalei Lamari Ara. You know, instead of giving it to us, just give it to the landowner. Fine. And Ba'ape Mari Ara, they said this in the presence of the landowner. V'kanamine, and in fact, a Kenyan was performed by the fellow who was assumed to have owed this money, the 5 slime. He made a kinyan that he would give the money to this landowner. So the sof, ozal avar chushbana ben dilele nafshei. Then after this fellow performed this kinyan with the other partners that he was going to give the money to the landowner, he then went and recalculated himself. And he realized that they made a mistake. He didn't owe them anything. So Asa, the comrade of Nachman, came to Rav Nachman to complain, meaning, I don't owe the money. And Tosis adds here that the other partners agreed to him that you're right, we made a mistake. You don't owe the money. It wasn't just that we were relying upon his say-so. In other words, it was recalculated and they all agreed. You're right, oh wow, you don't owe the money. But he already made the kinyan that he was going to pay the money to the landowner. So he comes to Rav Nachman, Amalei, and Rav Nachman said to him, "My a'avidlach, what can I do for you?" Chada, first of all, the Amr v'Nam Rav. Rav said that when you make a kinyan, ma'amid shloshtan, in the presence of all three, so it's an automatic transfer of possession. It's an automatic transfer of ownership. So you're too late, you already obligated yourself. What am I supposed to do? But furthermore, Hakanamanach, even without Rav's chiddush of kinyan ma'amid shloshtan, here, on top of that, you actually performed an actual kinyan. So there's two strikes against you. Number one, in general, Rav says that when three parties are present and lender says to borrower, give it to him, boom, it's done. You owe him the money. Number two, on top of that, you did an actual kinyan siddur, obligating yourself to give the lender the money. So what am I supposed to do for you now? Now, Tosis explains that Rav Nachman here was under the mistaken assumption that this vegetable grower was just trying to retract. He didn't realize that it was all based on a mistaken calculation in the first place. So that's why he was saying, you want to retract, you want to back out, you can't back out. It's too late. You already made the kinyan. It's already done. You already owe the money. So Amalei Rava. So Rava now says, Rav Nachman, no, you misunderstood. Atu ha'ai mi ka'amar lo yahavina. This guy's not saying, I'm refusing to give the money after he made a kinyan. Deleka gaboy ka'amar. He's saying that I never owed the money in the first place. So Amalei Rav Nachman said, and if so, kinyan betosu. The entire kinyan that he performed to obligate himself to pay the landowner was all based on a mistaken assumption. They'll call kinyan betos choser. And anytime there's a kinyan that's made on the basis of a mistaken fact, you of course can retract it once you realize the error. Fine. Next. Itmar, it was said. Holech mona leploni shani chayevlo. Reuven says to Shimon, listen, Shimon, take this 100 zuz to Levi. I owe him the money. What happens now? Amar Rav, Rav says, chayev bachu yuso. Reuven, the borrower, although he gave the money to Shimon, the shliach, to take the Levi, the lender, if something should happen to the money along the way, Reuven, the borrower, is still liable for it. Still liable. V'im balachzer. And secondly, if Reuven, the borrower, wants to take back the money from the shliach once he gave it to him, he can't take it back. So the borrower, according to Rav, is kind of gets the short end of the stick here. He owed money to Levi. He tells Shimon, here, be my shliach, take the money I owe to Levi, give it back to Levi. Once he gives this to shliach, he cannot take it back anymore. Oh, so that's part of the shaila, right? He can't take it back anymore. But at the same time, he hasn't released himself from all obligation. He's still on the hook for it until it gets to Levi. So he's not getting the raw end of both deals here. That's Rav. Whereas Shmuel says, come on, you can't do that. Mitoch shechayev b'chayiso, if the borrower is still on the hook for the money, should something happen to it, he's still liable for it, well then, imbalach sechozer. If he wants to take it back, because he says, listen, I don't trust you to take it to him, I'm going to take care of it myself. I'll hire a Brinks guy and I'll do it myself. So he has that right. You can't insist that he still be on the hook for the money unless you want to say that he can take it back if he wants to take it back. So the Gemara suggests, lema b'hakam l'flagi. L'char the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, is this issue. Namely, d'mar savar holech kischidami. One opinion holds, Rav, in other words, holds, holech kischi. When I give the money to the shliach and I say, take this to so-and-so, it's as if I'm saying, be konit for so-and-so. Okay, so that's why I can't take it back. Because Rav holds holech kischi. Now, the question, though, is, why then if I can't take it back because he was konit, am I still on the hook for it? So Rashi adds that because the lender never instructed me to give it to this guy, so I'm still on the hook for it until the lender gets it. But at the same time, because I said, holech, take it to him, it's as if I said, bikona it for him, and therefore I lose out on my ability to take it back. Okay, so the Gemara says, Umar Savar, and Shmuel would hold, Holech Lav Kischidami. Shmuel would hold, no, saying to so-and-so, take this money to so-and-so, is not like saying, be konit, and therefore you still have the right to take it back. That's Shmuel's Shita. Because this is the Gemara's assumption, like you said, George, it's Machlokas of Holech Kischi, Holech Lav Kischi. If Holech is the same as Zechi, then the Shliach is konit on behalf of the lender, and the borrower cannot take it back. If Holech is not the same as Zechi, which is Shmuel's Shita, then the borrower could, at this point, still take it back.
Is it because it's not such a benefit for the lender, because he really doesn't know if he's going to get it, because it might be stolen or something like that?
So that's why Rav says that you are on the hook for it. In other words, although Rav says that you can't take it back, Rav still says you're on the hook for the money until the lender gets it, because the lender never told you to give it to this guy. He never was willing to release your responsibility by giving to the shliach. So according to Rav, you're kind of in an in-between state here. You can't take it back, but you're still on the hook for it.
So in other words, it's the borrower's person that he's sending to the lender.
Right.
If it was the reverse way, then
if the lender sent a guy to collect the money,
then it would be the lender.
So we'll see that soon. That's coming up soon. That's coming up in the next case in Gemara. So hold on to that question. But in this case, Rav says, because the lender never said to give it to this guy, you decide to give it to him. So on the one hand, you cannot take it back because holech is kischi, according to Rav. At the same time, you're still on the hook for it because the lender never said to give it to him. But the Gemara now, after suggesting this is the machlokas, the Gemara says, maybe not. The Gemara says, "Lo, dekuliyama holech kischidami." Maybe even Shmuel agrees that saying holech is like saying bikona it. So here the machlokas is as follows: Mar savar lo amrinan migu, that Rav is of the opinion we do not say migu, meaning Migu means since the borrower is still responsible for the money, well, therefore he's allowed to take it back. Because how could you impose upon him responsibility for it without allowing him the option of taking it back from the shliach? So Rav says, you don't say such a svara. You know, there's going to Rav, yeah, he's on the hook for it, he still can't take it back. But Mar Savar and Shmuel says that even though we ordinarily say that Holech is like Zechi, but here with the borrower still on the hook for the money, Amin Amigu, here we'll say, you're right, in general, once you give something to a Shliach, you cannot take it back, because Holech is like Zechi. But here, if we're going to make you, the borrower, still responsible for the money until the lender receives it, well then, we have to allow you to have the right to take it back if you suddenly become uneasy with how this guy is going to be watching over your money in transit. So, the Gemara is arguing that, in a general case, maybe Rav and Shmuel both agree Holech is Kizechi. Rashi assumes a general case means like a matana, says Rashi. If I want to give someone a gift, and I say to you, do me a favor, take this to so-and-so, it's a gift I'm giving him. Holech matana zeloploni. So Rav and Shmuel, Rashi understands, at this point in the Gemara, would both say, if I'm giving someone a gift and I give it to a third party to take to him, I can't take it back because it's like kizechi. It's dafka here where it's a loan being returned and the borrower is still on the hook for it, that Shmuel says, oh Migu, if you're going to impose liability on the guy, you have to give him the option of taking it back. If he becomes uneasy with how the shliach is watching over it, he should have the right to take it back. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Tanaka Basa Darav, I have a raya to Rav from a brisa. The brisa says, Holech mana leploni shani chayev lo. If someone says to a second fellow, take this money to so-and-so, I owe it to him, or tain mana leploni shani chayev lo, or give him this money, I owe it to him, or holech mana leploni pikadon sheish lo biyadi, take this deposit that I have that belongs to so-and-so, or tain mana leploni pikadon sheish lo biyadi, or take and give this deposit to so-and-so that I have, that belongs to him. In all these cases, says the Braisa, Chayev Bachar Yuso, the borrower slash Shomer is still liable. And nonetheless, if he wants to take it back, he can't, because Holech is Kizchi. So this is a raya to Rav, that on the one hand, Holech is Kizchi. Once you give it to a Shliach, he cannot take it back. And at the same time, you're still liable for it. You're still chayav bachar yuso. We don't say migu that you're chayav bachar yuso, you can take it back. No, you lose it on both ends. You're liable for it if anything happens to it, but at the same time, because holech is kizchi, you cannot take it back. So you might now just ask the kash on the raisa, pikadam. This is true for even returning a pikadam. Leimalei, why can't the shomer say to the shliach, ein ritzono, shihei pikdono, b'yad acher? Why can't the shomer say to the shliach, I want to take it back because the owner of this deposit never authorized you to be the one in possession of it. And if I don't know that he wants you to have it, well then you can't possibly claim that you were konen on his behalf. Maybe it's to his detriment, to his disliking, that you're taking it. And therefore, I should have the right to take it back. In other words, you can't say by a pikadon, the Gemara is asking, holech is kizchi, because unless you know by a pikadon that the owner wants this guy to have it or is okay with this guy having it, who says it's to his benefit? You should have the right to take it back. So the Gemara says, Amar Abzer says, when do we assume that even with regard to a pikadon, once you give it to the shliach, you cannot take it back? Keshehuchzak kafran. That's only when the shomer has already been established as someone who tried to lie about having the pikadon in his possession. Well, under those circumstances, the owner of the pikadon is desperate to get it out of this guy's hands. If he already tried lying about it, the owner wants it out. He wants it back as soon as possible. Doesn't matter who you give it to, just get away from this guy. So in that case, the owner is very happy to have someone else take possession of it. And therefore we do say, holech kizchi, and you cannot take it back. Now comes the story. Rav Sheshes havale ashrasa desarbali b'muchuza. Rav Sheshes was owed money for a coat in Mechuza. Rashi explains, Hakafa, it was a purchase on credit. He gave this coat to so-and-so, on credits, bashroi, that's even used today as a modern word in Hebrew, bashroi, it was a given, a purchase on credit. Lasseis lohamos, as man kavur, Rashi says, it was, I'm giving you the coat as a sale, and you'll pay me the money at a certain date. So he was owed this money from this guy in Mechuzah. So Amar Leilo of Yosef Bachama, this is your question, Jeff. He appointed of Yosef Bachama, he said to him, Bahade de Osis, when you come back from Mechuzah, I sinhu nihali, bring me the money that's owed to me. Okay, so here you have this case. Rav Sheshis is owed money by a guy in Mechuzah. He tells someone, on your way back from Mechuzah, please bring me back the money. So Azal, Rav Yosef Bachama went, Yoavinulei, they took and gave him the money. Amrile, they said to him, Nikni minach, let's perform a kinyan. Meaning, they told Rav Yosef Bachama, okay, we're giving you the money that we owe to Rav Sheshes, for you to take back to Rav Sheshes, but we want to make a kinyan with you that you now assume responsibility for it. So if you're robbed along the way, we're off the hook. Amalahu, so Rav Yosef Bachama said, in, sure. Lesof, ultimately, Ishtam Malahu. He ran off before they can make a kinyan with him. Okay, so he kind of said, yeah, sure, of course, we'll take care of that. And then, you know, he's out of town. The crack is on next morning. He ran out. Kiaslagabe, when he came to Avsheshes, Amalei Avsheshes said to him, Shaper avdust lo shavis nafshach, you did well for not making yourself Eved lovel ishmala, a servant to a lender. In other words, you don't want to unnecessarily and needlessly incur upon yourself a debt. Why should you be the one to become the Eved Lova, to become the one who is the servant borrower who now is on the hook for the money? You were appointed by me to be my shliach. They're the borrowers. So you're right. Why would you want to assume upon yourself that responsibility?
But at that point, when he takes the money from him, is the lender responsible for it?
So in this case, the borrower, right? The borrower.
No, the lender. He sends his shliach, right? His shliach takes the
right.
The shliach may not be responsible because he didn't.
Right. In this case, Rav Sheshes told Rav Yosef Achama, please bring it back for me.
Right. So is he?
And the Gemara is assuming that the borrowers were still on the hook for it, since the shliach never assumed responsibility for it because he didn't perform a kinyan with them. Right, it's interesting. You're saying even though in this case Rav Sheshes clearly wanted the shliach to bring it back for him, but that did not automatically mean that the borrower is released from liability. Right, it only would have been so had the borrower done a kinyan with the shliach to make him liable. But since the shliach did not perform a kinyan with the borrower remained liable here. It seems okay. The Gemara then quotes another version, Lish Nachrina, another version of what happened here was that Rav Sheshes said to Yosef Bachama, Shapir Avdas, you were correct in not performing a kinyan, because Eved Lovel Ishmaba, because it's their responsibility as the borrowers to bring me back the money. And they should be the ones to retain liability for it. So you're right for avoiding that liability yourself. Now, Tosus says here that the borrowers would not have been able to force the shliach to give it back to them. In other words, even though he refused to do a kinyan, but once they gave him the money, they had no right to insist he give it back to them. Why? Because he was the shliach of the lender. In other words, the fact that the lender appointed him shliach is what would have prevented the borrowers from demanding it back. It doesn't give the borrowers the right to release themselves from liability. Because that's the point. That's the difference here. Right? Because if the lender had not appointed him shliach, right? So then you could have argued that the borrowers have the right to say, well, you're not appointed a shliach. You're not assuming responsibility. We want it back. But because the lender appointed him the shliach, the borrowers don't have the right to demand it back once they give it to him, even though he's not assuming liability for it. Okay. Next. The Gemara now says, Reb Echi Reb Yoshia, Havalei Ispika Dekaspa Binahada. Reb Echi Reb Yoshia was owed a certain silver utensil that someone had in the Hada, and it belonged to him. Amaviz. Omar Luhu Reb Dishtoi Reb Yanai Reb Yossi Bar Keeper. So he, Rabbi Yechav Bar Yoshia, said to Reb Dishtoi and to Reb Yossi Bar Keeper, Bahadida Asisu, on your way back from Yehada, Asunili, please bring this silver kli back to me. Ozul, Yavani Ale. So the fellow who had the kli gave it to them. And then he said, please perform a kinyan that you now take responsibility for it. They said, no thanks, we don't want to assume responsibility for it. So the fellow who had the kli said, well, if that's the case, give it back to us then. Rabbi Dishtoi said, okay, fine, I'll give it back to you. Rabbi Yosef my keeper, Rabbi Yosef Akiva said, no thanks. Once you gave it to me, I'm not giving it back to you. I was appointed to bring it back to the owner. I'm not giving it back to you. Because as Tosfot explains, in this case, the owner had Bedafka said to them, please bring it back to me, right? So you can't claim, oh, the owner doesn't want someone else to have it. No, he wants me to have it. He told me to bring it back to him. So I'm not giving it back to you. So have a komatsarale. So the people who had been watching the kli, who wanted it back because they didn't want to give it to these amoraim without the assumption of liability, they started harassing Rabbi Yosef Bar Keeper to give it back to them. Amar lehu, so Yosef Bar Keeper said to Rabbi Dishtoi, Rabbi Yanai, Chazi mar hecha ka'ovid, look what they're doing to me. Amar lehu, Rabbi Dishtoi said to them, he didn't say, stop it, he actually encouraged them. He said, Tav ramole, yeah, that's good, you know, hit him. So Rabbi Yosef Bar Keeper wasn't too happy about that. That why is my friend encouraging them to beat me up because they want back this kli that I'm supposed to be taking back to the owner? He also got there when they came back to Echi Bar Yoshia. So then Rabbi Yosef Bar Keeper complained. Amale Chazi Mar, Lo Mistai Lo Sayin. Not only did Rabbi Dishtoi not step in to help me, El Amalhu Nami Tav Amale. He told him to hit me more. So Amale Sav Echi said to Rabbi Dishtoi, Am I Tavet Achi? Why'd you do that? Amale, so he explained. Those people who had this kli, who wanted it back. Hein ama, they're very tall. Kavan ama, their clothing is big. Umedabrin mechatziyah, and they speak in a very deep voice. Ushmosein mevohalim, they have very intimidating sounding names. Arda, the Arta, Opili, Barish. Omen kfusim, when they say tie someone up, kofsin, they tie him up. Omen harog, when they say kill someone, horgan, they kill someone. Ilu hargus destoy, had they killed me, minasan liyanai abba bar kamosi, would I have been easily replaceable to my father? Meaning, these were scary people. I'm not going to start up with them. So Amalei Shabbechi said, B'nei adam halal krovim l'machasein. Do they have connections to the Roman government? Amalei Hain, yes. Yeichlan susam apratim shabbatsam hachem. Do they have these horsemen riding behind them? Amalei Hain, yes. Amalei Shabbechi said, Yehochi, if that's the case, shaper avdas. And you're right. You had the right, you were correct in not confronting them out of fear for your own safety. Next. Two dots. So far, from the previous Gemara, we had concluded that both Rav and Shmuel assume Holech is Kizchi. Only question is, when you're dealing with a scenario in which you're repaying a loan, do we say that since you're still liable for it when you give it to the Shliach, therefore you can take it back or not? Now we're going to discuss again the same shiloh. Holech man leploni. Let's say someone says to someone else, take this money to so-and-so. In this case, it appears to be a gift. Halacha b'kshav l'matzal. And the shliach goes, but the recipient is no longer alive. Tanichad, one brisa says, yach shlem shliach, give it back to the sender. Tanida, another brisa says, liyorshe mishenishtachalo, give it to the heirs of the deceased recipient. Isn't this the machlokes? The brisa which says, give it to the yorshim of the person who died, assumes that saying holich is like saying bikona, and once the shliach was konen on behalf of the intended recipient, so it now belongs to him and to his family. Umarsav, the brisa which says, give it back to the sender, holds holich lav kischi. Saying holich is not like saying acquire it, and therefore, if it never made it to the hands of the recipient, because he died, it goes back to the sender. Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo says no. Tukuli Abba Holich Lav Kizchi. Maybe both brises hold saying Holich is not like saying Zechi. So then why would one brisa say that it goes to the Yorshim of the recipient? Velokasha. Habibori Habishchimira. The brisa which says it goes back to the sender was talking about a case where the sender was a healthy fellow. Okay? So then if the recipient never got it because he died first, it never became his, it goes back to the sender. The brisa which says it goes to the yorshim of the recipient is talking about a case where the giver was a shchivmara, he was dangerously ill. And the din by a shchivmara is that if you say give money to so-and-so, boom, it's done. And therefore the recipient was konet just at that very moment before he died, and therefore it goes to his yorshim. Rezid Amar Zid says, habahab a shchivmara, both brises could be a case where the sender was a shchivmara. So then why would one brisa say that it goes back to the sender? Because hada isay lemekabal b'shas matan mos. If the recipient was alive at the time that the money was given to the shliach, then he's kona it, and it goes to his yorshim. But if the intended recipient had already died when the shliach was given the money, well then, even though the sender was a shchivra, but the intended recipient is no longer alive, so never left the possession of the sender, it goes back to the sender. If Papa Amar, Papa says, Hava Habibari. Both brises are a case where the shliach, the sender, is a healthy person. So why then in one case would it go to the recipient's yorshim? Ha, demis mekaba b'chayin osein. One brisa is a case where the recipient died while the sender was still alive. So in that case, if the recipient died while the sender was still alive, then it goes back to the sender because the recipient never received it. Ha, demis nosein b'chayin mekaba. But if the sender died before the recipient died, then it goes to the yorshim of the recipient. Why? Even though the recipient also died before he got it, but since the sender died before the recipient, we apply, Rashi says, the rule of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. The sender said, give this to so-and-so. The sender then dies. Oh, now it becomes a mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. It becomes a mitzvah to do what the dead man wished. In which case, here, it automatically becomes the recipient's. And even if the recipient then dies before he gets it, it goes to his yorshim. Okay, so now that's how we explain that's how I explain the two brises as not arguing with one another, but we're explaining the two brises to both be assuming that holich is lav kischi. And right now, we'll get this tomorrow, is going to suggest that this shaila of holich kischi, holich lav kischi, is a machlokas tanoim. We're going to cite a brise in which there are numerous different opinions, which the Gemara is going to suggest revolve around this issue, but the whole of this is clear.
Thank
okay,
you.
Hey, good day to all.
Thank you very much.
Take care, everyone.